away we go. Welcome into the Scuttlebucks. I'm Jeff Cameron, and that is Tom Lang, and you are listening to us after yet another Buccaneers win. Woo! All right. That was a little bit dicey. Get into it in a moment. By the way, you might have your eye on a new Ford truck. You maybe want out of your lease. Yeah, that's good. Why don't you just reach out to our friends at Bill Curry Ford. General Manager Sean Sullivan is there for you. He will help you personally. Find his email at BillCurryFord.com. Come to Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway in Tampa. Huge Bucks fans of Bill Curry Ford. Serve the community. That's what they've been doing a long time. It's what they're all about. A lot of Bucks players, coaches, or customers. Vita Vea, Ali Marpet, to name a couple. Bill Curry Ford has a nation lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And remember, GM Sean Sullivan will assist you personally. Ask for the Joe Bucks fan discount. BillCurryFord.com. All right. So, pretty early on, you kind of felt like probably late first quarter, early second quarter, Tom, is when you started to realize this was a slog, that this was going to be just get out of there with a win. This is not going to be pretty tonight. It's a deluge. The Bucks are hampered by injury at a lot of key spots. And, Tom was a little off. Let's just start there. I think Tom was a little off. I think a couple of things led to that. Obviously, when you've got, the moment as big as it was, and this is a guy that's won 7 Super Bowls, and so you hesitate to say that anything gets to him, but he's a human being. And going back to that place, as special as it is to him, and seeing some of those people and the familiar sights and the friends that he hasn't seen, as he put it, in over a year and a half, and then going down memory lane, and, it was pretty cool. The fans did a good job. I thought the New Englanders, they did the right thing, and that when he comes out, when the team comes out, they cheer him. But then when he comes out for the first series, they boo him. That's perfect. That's what you do. You honor him, you wave them, and then you're like, okay, now we want to kick your ass. So I thought it was all good, but I'm sure it was emotional. And then I don't know what effect the weather had, but he seemed missing high a lot last night.
Well, missing high is also
nerves or adrenaline.
Yeah, when you're talking about a young quarterback or an inexperienced quarterback, somebody who's seeing something for the first time, they might sail the ball early on. I thought, going into the game, I thought, give him the first 2 drives. We'll see. Maybe he comes out firing and he's got that extra petty, whatever gene that is that he has. I mean, he's got like
competitiveness.
The concentration of that gene that he has is way higher than most others who have ever played the sport. So I allowed for the possibility that we could come out clicking. I didn't think so. I thought he'd be nervous. But then it also was the rain. And I'm not going to completely blame everything on those 2 elements. But because he missed a lot of open throws later on that just, what are we doing here? You've been in the rain in Foxborough. If anybody at that position, quarterback, Foxborough, Mass, knows how to play in those conditions, it would Tom Brady. But you're right. Once you got into the second quarter, it was apparent that this was just going to be one of those games. Get the hell out of here with a win, and we'll worry about everything else later.
So they do get the win, and I think at a time where you look around the league, and you look in particular in our division, Tom, watching Carolina fall to Dallas, a team that the Bucks beat, and by the way, that Dallas offense is really good, so now that win looks better and better and better for the Bucks each week that goes by. But then watching Atlanta stumble over themselves.
Woo!
I'll tell you what, Sean Payton straight up lost the game for the Saints, trying to grind it out, and they're moving the ball, and you have this insistence on putting Taysom Hill's sorry ass out there, and he can't throw, and so it's just an interesting thing to watch them butcher it. So the Bucks enhance their position by winning that game on the road against New England, no matter how ugly it may have been. It was a good day for the Buccaneers across the board.
Well, we talked about it last week, too, what the schedule looks like for the next 2 months. It's really gettable. It was just a matter of getting through the first quartet of games. The Patriots are going to provide their own challenge. Bill Belichick dialed something up last night. That's what I was worried about. It's like, that guy's great, too, and it can happen for him on any given night. He'll put his team in a really good position. The way that Brady was talking about, I know exactly what they're going to do to me. He looked confused a little bit last night. I thought that was a little bit brash.
Missed some big opportunities, though.
But he did. Given where the schedule is going now, that you're 3-1, you can't say it's the quarter pole of the season anymore because we play 17 games. I suppose we can reflect on that between the first and second quarter of this weekend's matchup against the Miami Dolphins. But basically through the quarter pole of the season, you're right where you need to be because you're staring 8-1, 9-2, something like that, right in the face. So good job. You got out of Dodge, and now it turns to how healthy is this team going to be moving forward?
Well, so what you know, I had a conversation. For those that don't know, my mother is a massive Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. I mean, as big, you know this, Tom, as big a Bucs fan as there is in the country. She watches every second of every game. She gets nervous about every single moment of every game. And, you know, I tell her, Mom, it's a long season. They're going to have games they don't play well. They're going to have games in which they surprise you on the good in a good way. But really, I was trying to talk her off the cliff last night because we're looking at all these injuries, and it's difficult. But the schedule sets up nice for you. We do have cornerback concerns. There's no getting around that. That secondary is beat to hell, and it's why you brought in Sherman. So I worry about him, but I do think that there's a survive and advance mentality, and it doesn't necessarily involve like fighting your ass off to win home field because you don't have to. The Bucs went on the road for every one of their playoff games last year and won on their way to the Super Bowl, which happened to be played in Tampa. But, you know, the statistics have been revealed, and not just because the Bucs went on a run, but home field doesn't matter as much as health.
Oh, no.
Are your best players healthy when you play the most important games, i.e. playoff games? So gauging when to bring guys back will be very interesting to me to monitor. Because so you and I were talking off the air, you know, there are reports that Gronkowski could be back as early as, what was it, right after
The Philly game.
Philly game, yeah.
A week from Thursday, yeah.
But is that really necessary? Three broken ribs and a punctured lung? Maybe not. Maybe you hold them out another week. Any of these guys that are nursing injuries that have had real problems kind of getting back and staying healthy, and maybe they stay away for an extra week or two so we can make sure this thing is healed and we're not dealing with a Carlton Davis situation.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. That's going to make the next few games, I think, a little bit more frustrating because teams can pick on the secondary. I thought Ross Cockrell, for example, last night stepped up. He had a pretty good game. But I don't know that you can count on that week in and week out, especially when you might have lost Antoine Winfield for this upcoming weekend as well. He was in the concussion protocol at the end of last night's game. I was texting my boys down in Tampa during, I said, well, Winfield's out with a concussion. When it rains, it pours. The response was, well, if this game follows the script it should, New England doesn't see the field again. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But if you don't have him next week because he's still in the protocol, then you've got your top three corners out. We just got Jordan Whitehead back, and what a difference he made in the running game. I mean, my God, that guy plays. He does not care about his body.
Yeah,
he really doesn't. Like, he does in the gym, but on the football field, if his arm comes off because he's making a tackle, that arm's going to come off. You're going to see it on the field. You will see a severed limb on the field because he's going to make that damn play. But you're trying to also build continuity. Like, if you're going to take it from the positive side of things and the long-term GM-type vision, you're saying, look at all these reps that we're giving to other guys while we're still winning football games. That's going to make us a deeper, more dangerous team come the playoffs as long as everybody gets healthy. But you got to get everybody healthy.
Well, and never, you know, not one time did I get comfortable going into this game if only because, I mean, I thought the Bucs would win, but no JPP.
Yeah.
And he's a big part of what the Bucs do as well. And then you throw in all those corners. It's hard to know what you're going to get when four starters are out.
Right. Well, and
out of
the
11?
NFL, right, yeah.
I mean, that's a big damn deal. To have four starters out on your defense at any one time is very difficult. Four and a half at times. I mean, they have had some real issues. So, yeah, I think week to week they're going to be it's going to be kind of maddening watching this team. I don't care about how you look winning games. Last night was just about getting the dub, moving on, sustaining a place atop the division amongst the upper echelon and the NFC in general until you can nurse everybody back. You know, and maybe you're a middling-looking, this is kind of a weird thing to say, but a middling-looking upper echelon team for a bulk of six games.
Right.
You know, where you're
nobody's saying you're the prohibitive favorite to win the Super Bowl, but you're in the conversation. That's fine.
Yeah.
Lay back in the weeds.
Well, that's what we did last year, by the way. We really weren't the team to beat until it was very, very late in the season. So I think that's where you're going to be for much of this year because of all these injuries. There are good things to talk about here, too. They got the running game going. And it was nice to see that, A, that's how they wanted to attack New England. The stats said they should attack New England that way. But in addition, they looked good doing it. I mean, they wore New England down. A big part of that fourth quarter was eating 8 minutes off the clock, just running the ball down their throat. And you saw it time and again. I also think that Fournette is better this year than last year. And I know he played well in the postseason, but the Fournette that starts this year is miles ahead of the Fournette that started last year.
Yeah, if you're talking about a complete player, you know, it's like who's going to replace the reps from Gio Bernard and Fournette? They trust more as a blocker and a pass catcher
and
than
caught
they
caught the ball well.
Right, that's the thing. Like Rojo is your straight ahead. It's odd because of the way Rojo's career started. I'm just reflecting on that real quick. He didn't run hard his rookie year, but then the switch flipped. It was like towards the end of that season where he saw, oh, okay, he can get ahead of steam about him. And now he's more of the bruiser than Fournette is. Like, of course, Leonard Fournette can have a safety bounce off of him because of how big he is. But if you're looking about the running with purpose thing, if you're just looking at that particular element of their games, Rojo's running way harder than Fournette is. But Fournette is a more complete player at this point in the season. I'm going to stick to what I said a couple weeks ago. It's going to be a roller coaster. I don't know that you can trust 27 or 7 the entirety of the year to be consistent. There are going to be 3 and 4 weeks where one guy's hot and the other guy's hot. But that's okay when you've got an offense that's as loaded as this offense and your worst position is still an above-average position based upon the different pieces you have. That's good. You can't with a salary cap, you can't be A or A-plus everywhere. So I'm glad to see that you've at least found out what you are at running back moving forward because we'll need him.
Yeah, and I have a little more trust in Fournette than you do, I think. Just to I love that he's running guys over again. Every game now, he has two or three runs where he just runs people over.
That's true, but I still also see indecisiveness and or blind. He's blind. He doesn't have the vision. He takes guesses, and sometimes it's right because he's such a freak of an athlete. Like, you know, the spin move in the playoffs, things like that. But there are moments where you're like, my man, put your foot in the ground and go.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's like dancing around, but that's all right.
Patience, though, a couple times allowed him to break outside and gain 8-9 yards.
There were a couple of Lev Bell type runs where you're like, go! And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, I see some watching going on. Yeah.
I got a question for you because it's bothering me every week these days. And I watched very closely. And, you know, for those that are new to the Scuttlebucks, Tom and I cover here in Tallahassee Florida State football, which is in a god awful place. Currently,
I tell people we cover Florida State basketball
or women's soccer or softball or any other championship caliber programs here at Florida State. Yeah, but the point would be this: when we break down these games for Florida State fans, we go back and we watch very carefully in order to try to get it right, make sure we figure out what's going on. And we came to a damning conclusion about one of the members of this team. It's a tight end. I won't throw his name out there here. But we figured out he can't – doesn't play real well, very consistently. Doesn't seem to be physical enough and doesn't – the Bucs have one as well. And I don't know, is this the result of that injury a year ago and he's just not all the way back? But is O.J. Howard going to matter on this team at all? Because I really was very excited about O.J. Howard's return. Because remember, the game he got hurt in, he had a long touchdown, and it looked like he and Tom had found a rapport. That was the Chargers game, right? It looked like he was going to be a big part of what the Bucs were going to do. And I just don't know if he's all the way back, so I'll excuse it if he's not. But, boy, he's fairly useless right about now. As a blocker, for sure, he's fairly useless. And, you know, they don't exactly go to him in the passing game.
Yeah, so this is what was frustrating from a personal standpoint. I've got three dudes on my fantasy team on IR, right? And I'm going to keep those guys because they're good players. And I was looking for a little flash in the pan pickup. So I went and got O.J. Howard the moment that it was announced that Rob Gronkowski was not going to play in the game. I thought, oh, here we go. All right, finally. You know O.J. played 51 snaps last night?
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't know it.
You wouldn't know it in terms of offensive production.
No, he didn't.
They kept him in the block.
He didn't
and he wasn't good at it.
No, he wasn't good at it. I'm telling you, it's troublesome to me. He may be nursing still some of that injury. He's not all the way back. He's not the explosive player that we thought he was or that we got a glimpse of a few times early in his career. It's troublesome. I get upset watching him play. That's a guy that I feel like has to be better as we move along.
Well, I mean, what we're getting close to is that pick was a bust. You know, we were waiting for this payoff to come eventually, right? And he's at the end of his rookie deal. We might have even signed him for a year or two.
We extended him because we thought we saw glimpses.
It's a bust, though. I mean, you know, we were weighing it against other players that we could have gotten at the time. In the moment, it felt like the right pick because there were about five Alabama players that were can't miss, quote unquote, and they fell. One of them fell to Tampa, and it was OJ. And you thought this guy's going to be a game changer for the offense. But when Gronk is out, that you can't be a factor over the middle of the field. What is that about? Cam Brate is the guy we're targeting in those situations.
Again, I think. I think it's still the remnants of that injury. I think he's 70%. He does not look quick. He does not look like the guy I saw last year in that Chargers game and that we got glimpses of. And he had bought in, and you thought, okay, there it is. Okay, good. Brady's going to work with him. It's going to be all right, and you can get the most out of him. And we all want that because you look at that guy, there's no way he can't be better.
Well, there was one play last night that spoke volumes to me, and it makes me wonder, should we as an offense work to get some players involved so they're feeling good about themselves? Because Brady has clearly chosen quite a few favorites among the targets. Mm-hmm. Gronk is number one. Antonio Brown is number two. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's Evans every once in a while. Godwin every once in a while. Scotty Miller, I know he's on IR, but in the beginning of the season, there wasn't anything. Mm-hmm. He wasn't looking for him at all. He likes Fournette a lot. He really does. He throws his way.
He trusts him.
But O.J. Howard, there was the third down scramble to the right.
I know the player you're talking about.
Third and goal. He goes to the back of the end zone. He cuts right. He doesn't even work to get open in the back. It's a kind of a, oh, wait, I'm back here.
Yeah,
Tyler Johnson was working on the scramble. And I think he might have been able to hit Tyler Johnson, Brady, if he decided to wait a little bit longer. But O.J. didn't work hard to go get the football. And my thought was, oh, does he just feel so not a part of the plan that you've now got a problem between the ears? Because he had those problems before Brady got to Tampa.
There can be problems that are born out of not being 100% too, though. And when you're trying to do things and mentally you know what you want to do, but your body won't let you do it. Sorry. I see some of that with him. I don't know. I just thought I'd bring it up. It's not the biggest problem for the Bucs right now at all.
No, but he could have been a difference-making weapon, and it's a long season, but for right now, it looks terrible, and that's one of the good things about last night's game is that now you can break it down after a win, but that red zone offense was atrocious. So you're telling me we don't have a plan beyond Gronk? Like, we don't have a plan?
Gronk's a big deal. Pretty obviously, Gronk's a big deal.
Well, we need to have more options than just Gronk. This is a loaded freaking roster. How is it that hard? Because that's a game where you should score bare minimum in the high 20s, low 30s, if you execute in the red zone. It's terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. I don't know how much of that was weather. I don't know how much of that was, again, missing some opportunities there. You have a touchdown that's just a poor throw. There are a couple moments where you go, okay, I mean, this is one of those nights. I do think you're right. I think that Bill did a good job of constantly changing coverages. And, you know, I think there were times where Brady had to second-guess himself. But at the same time, find the ball, A.B.
Yeah, I know.
That's a touchdown.
Oh, those two throws back-to-back are
great
obscene.
Great throws.
The second one is even more obscene than the first.
I can't believe he got – I mean, that's right there.
It
the
is.
The only place you can put it.
And you can't find the replay now, but it was in the live game broadcast, so if somebody ripped it and put it on YouTube, there is one slow-motion replay where they show it early enough – that the defensive back actually gets a nice little it's a subtle tug on AB's. I'm not complaining about a no-call. I'm just saying it's a nice play by the defender. Otherwise, that's perfectly in stride.
It's an awesome throw.
He's got to reach a little bit for it, but not nearly. He should have caught the ball. But that is a perfect, obscene pass in that moment, and it's back-to-back that he went for the home run, and he should have hit both.
Yeah, and the first one's a touchdown. He's got his man beat.
Oh,
and,
he does.
And I don't think that Tom threw it poorly. I think AB lost in the lights.
Oh, totally. No, that throw is great. They're both absolutely perfect throws.
It's a touchdown. He's just got to turn his shoulders. He doesn't see the ball.
Which is a hell of a response because for much of the game, he was missing some simple ones.
So it tells you, too, that that's one of the things that's funny. That illuminates Brady's mentality. Lots of things do. But like you said, he missed some throws. We all know he wasn't special last night the way he normally can be. And yet when the game is on the line, you dial up that. You're not trying to get a little bit closer. Like, no, we're gonna go ahead and score a touchdown and put the game away. And you throw a really good ball that AB loses in the lights. I mean, I'm going to assume he lost in the lights.
Yeah, that's what
it looked like to me. And then you go right back to him on a really extremely difficult throw that, frankly, I think AB would tell you should have caught.
Oh, he should have, absolutely. Because we had the first down. That was a third down play. Godwin's outbreaking route is going to get you the first down. But if you're going to make that throw, you better make it.
And
he did.
He made it. And my man dropped it. Now, he didn't drop a lot of balls, so I'm not going to harp on that.
Right,
and he's actually been a good soldier, so I'm not going to harp on any of that. And he was big on the third and six.
Oh, there are two third downs.
How tough is it to be a rookie and get thrown in after your best corner goes down with cramps? the first thing they do is bunch formation, scissors, and I'm like, that poor bastard, you got no chance. That's a play that's borderline illegal because Evans takes the inside and shades you. There's Godwin and Evans. Those are big dudes. They come out, so now he's got to go over the top. When right. he goes over the top, it's over. You've lost because you don't have leverage. And AB is so quick on that cut. He knows he only needs 6 yards. There's no chance, and that is why Brady has favorites. There are guys where they just understand. Now, you know where he's at and what I need right, and where you're right. going to be, right? It was now. It was 1, 2, 3 balls out of my hands, first down. And he does that with Gronk all the time, too.
Right, it's just I know where you're going to be, so I'm going to put the ball on.
Right there, yeah. And it's just I can trust that I can release this. You know, to harken back, one of the frustrating elements for years with Jameis was that they were never on the same page for a variety of reasons. A lot of times, you know, he made throws based on what he thinks, both schematically and what he figures based on the look that he's getting from the defense where you should be. But early on in Godwin's career, they didn't have that. They weren't simpatico. It was O.J. Howard and him never found it. And besides, every time Jameis threw to O.J., O.J. would catch it and then throw it to the other team. So there were all these weird things that happened. It always frustrated me. But when you watch two guys that view football the same way and understand it and have worked together before, just that it's beautiful, the symmetry. It just happens right now. And that play was one of the biggest of the game.
Yeah, and if you looked at, I stayed up and I watched the postgame coverage on the NBC streaming app because I get it with my cable box.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at all the clips of what was going on pregame for Brady, he got there earlier than usual.
Oh, yeah, met with the old owner, yeah.
He met with Robert Kraft, yeah, he sure did. Mm-hmm. He met with Rodney Harrison, who is an ass, but he's a Patriot all the way, right? He met with Drew Brees for an extended period of time. How many games in Brady's career do you think he's standing in the hallway outside of the locker room and glad-handing people?
Yeah.
Right? Like, none except for this one? That's got to be it. So that's where, again, when we got to about the second, third quarter, the beginning of the second quarter, end of the first quarter, you could tell it's not the same. That dude is a creature of habit. He's got the way he wants to do things. Even when he has a press availability, it's like when time's up, he just walks away. He's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
You're told 10 minutes. I'm giving you 5. We've hit 5. I'm done. That dude lives to every minute. It has to be according to a certain code. And it was not last night. And I thought that was the reason we were a little bit sluggish in the passing game early on. But the good news is, again, that you've exposed enough weaknesses in victory that over the next 6 to 8 weeks, we're going to get better as a football. That game made us better across the board, I think.
Get to win there. To move to 3-1, the division is 3-1 Bucks, 3-1 Carolina, 2-2 Saints, 1-3 Falcons. Pretty much write the Falcons off already. The Saints offense hasn't really gotten going at all. It's interesting to watch. Jameis isn't making a ton of mistakes, but they don't click. There's not a lot there right now. And Carolina's been a nice story. I don't think Carolina has the requisite talent to sustain a run at the NFC South. So if you just take care of business against some bad teams coming up, you've got an opportunity if you're the Bucs to, you know, probably to win the division even as you deal with all these injuries.
Yeah, probably. Carolina's interesting enough to me because that's
a team that hasn't
– there's a lot to prove. So they're going to – you know, you talk about the effort and week to week and not taking things on the long-haul approach. They're very much going to be short-term mentality. That's what scares me about them. They're talented across the board, but Dallas exposed some things last week defensively. And the weird part is I just like to play them early and late in the season to figure out what they are. But we see them twice in the final 3 weeks
late
of the season.
Yeah.
So who knows what the hell the stakes are going to be in those particular games.
Yeah, quirk of scheduling there. But for Tampa Bay, as we move forward, I would say that the running game was the biggest thing to take away.
Yeah.
That's what I'm most excited about. So I would tell you that if they stick with that, we don't always have – I mean, I know it's – you don't want to take the ball out of Tom's hands.
Right. Well, I tell you that the thing I'm most excited about is Tryon. He looked good last night. Now, I understand on one of the sacks is because Vita Vea eviscerates two men. Every week now, he does something where he's going to chuck somebody 10 yards into the backfield. And it's not like he's built like a world's strongest man. He's stout, but he's not
massive.
Cut. He's just a massive dude who has it's like Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp didn't look like an athlete, and he's one of the best athletes that ever wore the uniform.
Yeah, he's He's strong, but he plays with such great leverage. I mean, that's the one thing that really stands out is he gets his pad level down, and yep. when he gets into you, what do you? I mean, he's 330 pounds.
And of course,
pounds.
Yes, he's bigger than Warren was, so they're not the same body type. But it's just you look at him, you're like, that guy. Oh yeah, that freaking guy. But that's another thing I loved about last night with JPP out. This kid on the road at Foxborough,
played great.
Yeah, Trajan Stroyinka is getting his. I mean, you get confidence level with that guy. Then, now you can roll 3 and 4 deep with your pass rushers. Even William Golston's turning in sacks.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always been a run stopper since I was in college. I felt like, has he been with the Bucks since 2005?
It feels like he's been with the Bucks forever, but I also love him, man. His determination's fun. I mean, he makes that sack. He loves it. He's having so much fun. Oh, he got up. He was like a little kid.
He is such a big part of what we do in stopping the run. And that's something we haven't even mentioned. -1 on the ground.
Well, you're just not running against the Bucks.
And Bill said the hell of it.
Yeah, well,
they tried like 8 to 10 times for the night.
No, it's well, but that's not the first. We've watched many teams go, yeah, we're not running. Yeah. The Dallas Cowboys have weapons galore to keep you balanced, and they couldn't run with Zeke.
Yeah, well, and here's a point that one of my buddies brought up last night. I thought, yeah, that's fair, because we did this to Green Bay last season.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to bring that many pressures because your corners aren't good enough, which I fully understand and I was on board with, go, stand the house.
Keep sending them. Yeah, yeah.
That Mac has that much poise as a rookie is annoying, but just keep doing it.
Yeah,
keep
he's a good
doing
player.
It.
Yeah.
If you're going to bring that much pressure, shouldn't you press up a little bit more and not play off? It's not just a Richard Sherman thing. Across the board, it looked like we were given 6 and 7 yard cushions when we're trying to bring pressure. That doesn't seem to match.
Sherman really quickly. Obviously looked like a guy that just got off the plane. So he was targeted, I think, 7 times, and Mac was 7 for 7 on those targets. They went straight after him.
That's understandable.
As one would.
But across the board against our guys.
No,
even Carlton early before he got hurt, and we'll see how severe that injury is. That doesn't look great.
No.
It looks like a compensation injury for the hamstring is what my guess
That's
is.
That's what I thought too, man. It bothered me a lot.
But if you're going to bring 6 and 7 dudes that much, I mean, listen, you might be able to jump a Mac Jones pass. That's what Jamel Dean did twice last year in that Green Bay game. It was, well, I don't have to worry about the double move because we're bringing the house on Aaron Rodgers, so that's why I can undercut it.
We almost had a pick there late.
Oh, my God.
They didn't come back to the ball. They almost hung Mac out to dry. And then there was also the one
the one with Devin White. And if that's an accurate throw, he's got it.
It is a pick, yeah.
It was actually, I don't know if Mac was like, oh, no, and he altered it the last second.
It's funny, that's Devin White, though, being smart. You see him bait him into that, and then he's like, oh, no, I know where you're going. Yeah, he's sneaking back in front of him. You're right, an accurate throw, that's picked, and probably picked 6 because we forget Devin White's fast as hell.
Oh, my God.
He's gone. That would have been cool to watch. That dude at 250 pounds just housing that.
Well, that's the, you know, just big picture stuff. It's a victory Monday, so we're happy. But do you think about how many or how little the amount of athletes was as a Buck fan for 15
years. For a long
years.
Time, yeah.
And you think about the panoply of dudes we have now. Vita, I don't care what he looks like. That dude's an athlete.
No, he is, yeah.
Trajan is a house.
Tristan Wirfs may be the best athlete on the team.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's a freak.
He is.
Nobody
he is.
Does what that guy does. It's
right.
insane, yeah.
We're nitpicking Lenny, but that dude is a brick blank house.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these guys littered throughout the team. We're just so much fun to watch.
And we're 3-1. Ugly win's a win. A win is a win is a win. Don't forget to visit our friends where you can win at Bill Curry Ford.
You can win there.
Talk to General Manager Sean Sullivan. He'll help you personally, as I like to point out to you. They're over there off of Dale Mabry Highway in Tampa, just a mile north of the stadium. Maybe you're going to buy some gear. Maybe you want new gear. And you're thinking, I'll go look at some new trucks. I'm going to go give it a look-see. Huge Bucks fans at Bill Curry Ford. Players and coaches go there. You can too. Bill Curry Ford, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Remember, Sean Sullivan will assist you personally. Ask for the Joe Bucks fan discount, BillCurryFord.com.
Before we go, I'll give you a weird question because I'm looking at the grades from PFF. And again, folks, you know, I know Lita Kemper's like, no, not the nerds.
No, it's not a be-all, end-all. It's just a tool.
It's just a tool because somebody else spent a lot of time going over play after play, and we don't have that kind of time with a short turnaround.
And you can measure certain things there that are accurate and others that are not, yeah.
Who do you think our highest-graded defender was last night? Highest-graded defender.
Vita Vea.
It was Shaq Barrett.
Well, I told you before the show started that I was in love with his game. I should have said him because I told you during the when we weren't on the air that I thought he played great. But I think a lot of that's born out of Vita Vea. But yeah,
absolutely. Okay. You want to know what contributed to it? His coverage grade was over a 90.
Wow.
So we dropped him in coverage a bunch. And, well, I guess he was keying on the running backs well enough. Our top-rated offensive player is Tom Brady for the game, believe it or not. Who do you think the second-highest-rated player on offense is on the way out?
Golly, that's tough. Evans?
Allie Marpet.
Okay, well, offensive line.
The offensive line didn't do well last night, but Allie Marpet did.
Didn't do well in what, pass pro? I thought they did fine in run blocking. What was the let's differentiate here.
All right, so let me pull them up real quick.
Yeah, because I felt like with the emphasis being on the run against a good Patriots defense, and I know the Patriots defense hasn't been awesome against the run this year, but
oddly enough, given what we did in the run game, pass blocking graded out much higher than run blocking. Allie Marpet was a stud there. Worse was the second best. Kappa and Wells came in for like two snaps. According to PFF, Ryan Jensen had a really bad night across the board.
Jensen had a bad night, and then we still struggle over there on the left side.
Yeah, Donovan Smith was he is what he is.
I will also say that he's frequently going against a stud like he was last night, and that's a toughie.
Even still, he graded a 70, which is not bad, in pass protection. Run blocking, we didn't do that well, and yet I think it's because we had some negative plays.
Has to be.
That's the thing about Pro Football Focus. They weight big plays a little bit too high.
Yeah.
Like, Winfield graded out as our second-best defender last night. I'm like, well, he had the pick. I get it, but,
Yeah, and that wasn't anything he did either.
Right.
Yeah, it was a free shot at Mac Jones and a tipped ball.
Right. Like, if you had to rate who played better in your own mind, was it Vita or Winfield? I'm going to say Vita, and the grades would not tell you that.
By the way, you want to talk about terror. If we could have seen the end zone cam for Mac Jones having to step into the throw when Devin White gets a free running start shot, nobody even grazes him, and he gets destroyed. That's toughness. Mac stood in there, and
he made a miss later in the game.
Oh yeah, well that is
a beautiful everything about that play.
Yeah,
because he knows where the running back's going to release, but he's got to create the angle to make the throw.
Yeah, but go back. I would love to see the end zone or the all 22s because Mac is. I mean, his foot hits and it's Devin White, who's a Mac truck, freed. Gets rid of the ball, and you just see. I thought for sure we were going to end up getting a roughing because I just figured he'd crushed him, but he didn't.
This is where Todd Bowles is amazing. Like, everybody knows that play is in our arsenal. We've run it a bunch, and yet he still comes free. We find a way.
Get him free. Yeah.
That's where Vita helps.
Vita. Again and again and again, it's always Vita. For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron, and we thank you, Buccaneer fans, for listening to the Scuttlebucks. We'll be back with you on Friday and do a little preview of the next one. So, go Bucks! Until next time, be well, everybody.